Well, brothers and sisters, as we said at the beginning of Mass, today we're celebrating in a special way that God himself, the Word, became incarnate, that he took on a human heart in order to show us the depths of his love for us, to suffer for us as well, and to draw us to himself, that we need not fear coming to him. And we might ask ourselves the question, well, why do we need such a feast? Isn't this what we celebrate at the Annunciation, at Christmas time, at the birth of Jesus, that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us? Why do we need the Sacred Heart of Jesus as a special feast in the church? Well, it helps for us to review a little bit of history, because it was in the 17th century in Europe that it seemed that the church for a time had forgotten the love of God. Catholic theology had consistently taught that original and actual sin, yes, it cuts us off from God and salvation, but it doesn't change fundamentally our human nature, which is ultimately good, a gift given to us by God as good. And therefore, that nature is also capable of receiving God's divine life and love, receiving grace. We're capable of receiving God's grace in our souls, which wipes away our sins, transforms us, divinizes us, makes us holy, and allows us again to be able to enter into eternal life and be with God forever. But with the Protestant Reformation, this reality was lost, or at least forgotten for a time. Martin Luther had said that man is not fundamentally good, man is fundamentally depraved. Man is more like a pile of dung covered with snow. God's grace doesn't actually change us. It just covers us and makes us look pleasing to God. Calvin went even further. He said that after the fall, man is impure, profane, and abominable to God. And that original sin is the hereditary depravity and corruption of our nature, diffused through all the parts of our soul, rendering us obnoxious to divine wrath. And it's only by God's mere election, for Calvin, that one could be either saved or damned forever. And this thinking creeped its way into the Catholic Church as well. There were many who saw God not as loving, but as fearful. Many people feared to approach God and the sacraments. Certainly, they thought, I sin all the time, even when I don't know it. I must not be able to go and approach God. Maybe, they said, if just after I come out of the confessional, maybe then I could receive communion. But if I wait even 5 minutes, I might not be able to. Some of us might think that's a realistic view of our human nature. But there was a bishop at the time who boasted that there were no unworthy receptions of Holy Communion in his diocese for an entire year. And that's because, he said, that nobody had received Holy Communion in his diocese for an entire year. And Father Michael Gately has written a beautiful book called Consoling the Heart of Jesus. And he presents this history, and he also says that in 1673, something happened. Jesus snapped, as it were. He says, you can imagine a mom who's at wit's end because of her children and their demands and needs, and sometimes a mom just loses her patience, and it's okay, we understand. But Jesus snapped because he couldn't take it anymore. And so he appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and revealed to her his Sacred Heart. He said to her, behold this heart which loves so much, yet which is so little loved. And so this was a wonderful reminder to the church of what we already know, what we take from the scriptures, God is love. 1 John chapter 4. And the famous line that everybody quotes even at football games, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This fundamental reality that God loves us and he sacrificed everything for us is right at the heart of the Sacred Heart. And the good news is that yes, we can turn to God. We can turn to him, turn to his mercy with confidence. Part of the message of the Sacred Heart, the devotion really, is that people can make reparation for the sins and ingratitudes of others. That if there are those people who are not grateful to the Lord and continue sinning, we can make atonement for that. And specifically, Jesus asked us to make the 9 first Fridays, any 9 Friday, first Fridays of the month in a row, 9 months in a row, we can attend Mass, having gone to confession, so being in the state of grace, and therefore receiving Holy Communion worthily, and at least having the implicit intention of making reparation for the sins and ingratitude of others. This is the practice of the 9 first Fridays, excuse me if I said Saturdays, first Fridays of the month. And this is what Jesus would give us then as a way for us being able to turn to him again, for atoning for his sins, for those who do not love the Lord as they should, and therefore consoling the heart of Jesus. This would also be a way that Jesus would pave the way, as it were, for another saint who came along a little bit later, not in 17th century France, but in 20th century Poland, Saint Faustina. And how beautifully similar and complementary is the whole divine mercy message and devotion. We could say that Saint Faustina sort of picks up the baton and runs with it from Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. Because it's to Saint Faustina then that Jesus reveals not just that his heart is aching for man to love him again, but he reveals to Saint Faustina the greatest pain that his heart has, which is our lack of trust. Jesus says to Saint Faustina, "Distrust on the part of souls is tearing at my insides. Despite my inexhaustible love for them, they do not trust me." Jesus says in a conversation with a despairing soul, he says, "My child, all your sins have not wounded my heart as painfully as your present lack of trust does. That after so many efforts of my love and mercy, you should still doubt my goodness." It's been said that the fundamental sin, the original sin of Adam and Eve, was a failure to trust God. Adam and Eve had to take matters into their own hands, as it were, in order to become like gods, because they thought that God was holding back on them, that they didn't already have an incredible dignity and a likeness to God. Turns out they lost the likeness because of the original sin. But how much we need to turn back to him in trust so that he can then work miracles in our own lives. So our solution then is to turn to the Lord, to express our trust in him, and that this is the best possible way we can make reparation for the sins against the heart of Jesus, and also to be a great consolation to his heart. And I'm also super grateful to Father Serafim Mykolenko of Happy Memory, who taught us how it is that we can truly live out trust in our daily lives. He said that we do this by praising and thanking God in everything, which of course means that especially when we're facing trials and tribulations, difficulties, and we're perhaps at our own limits and we're ready to snap, we can try to say, "Okay, Lord, praise you and thank you for everything." It's not easy, but it's a wonderful way to express and to live trust. Finally, today we have the encouragement through Saint Faustina to help others to trust in Jesus's love also. Jesus says, "Encourage the souls with whom you come in contact to trust in my infinite mercy, Oh, how I love those souls who have complete confidence in me. I will do everything for them. Most dear to me, Jesus says, is the soul that strongly believes in my goodness and has complete trust in me. I heap my confidence upon it, and I give it all it asks. And in another place, he says, I desire that the whole world know my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. And so today we give profound thanks to our Lord for this solemnity that the world very much needed and still needs today. Because I think in our own lives too, we also forget at times that the Lord really loves us and that we can turn to him with trust, that we need not fear. Perhaps we have a faulty image of God. Maybe we think that God is more like a taskmaster or he's standing over us with a clipboard. Maybe if we were raised in a home with one parent or the other who is very strict with us, maybe we have an image that God is kind of like that too. And so how beautiful it is for us to really ponder how the Lord really is, his incredible love for us, how he goes to every extreme for us, as we heard in our gospel passage today, leaving the 99 and going for the one. And how he's just thirsting for us to turn to him with trust. And that this is how we can make reparation and console his heart. In addition, of course, to practicing the 9 first Fridays. But in this way also of living this complete trust, trying to live it more and more each day, asking the Lord the grace, because we know how weak we are. We know how difficult it is for us to trust in the Lord. But if we keep striving, we keep trying to praise and thank God in everything, and we keep trying to encourage other souls to trust God too, then we know that we will win many graces, not only for our own lives, but for the lives of so many other people around us. We truly will see the miracles of God's mercy unfolding in our lives, the more we can turn to him with trust. And so again today, we give thanks for this beautiful solemnity, for the heart of Jesus, which loves so much, and to whom we can say, Lord, I offer myself to you. I come today in Holy Communion and confession to atone for sins. I trust in you, Lord, and I ask that you also might pour out these graces upon many souls, that they too might have inexhaustible trust in you, so that together we will be living divine mercy, living devotion to the Sacred Heart in our daily lives through our trust until that day when we all see him forever in heaven. May the Lord grant us this grace today to have unimaginable trust in our Lord and to repair for the sins of our world.
Hello, I'm Father Thaddeus Langton of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, and I'm excited to let you know about my new podcast with Father Timothy Childers called Keeping It Marian. To access the podcast, simply visit divinemercyplus.org or search Keeping It Marian on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on whatever podcast platform you prefer. I want to share with you the riches of the charism of the Marian Fathers, which is the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, how it touches our lives as consecrated priests and religious, and how this mystery can bear fruit in your life, especially by keeping the Word of God and pondering it in our hearts in imitation of our Blessed Mother. I hope you'll join us. Again, it's called Keeping It Marian. Thank you, and God bless you.
Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit divinemercyplus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's divinemercyplus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.